give you all the news about the exciting return of the European leagues, latest news about CBS and ESPN's big plans for Serie A and La Liga, why the pendulum of transfer sign-ins has swung to the Premier League, and your feedback in the listener mailbag segment. I'm Christopher Harris, aka The Gaffer, joined alongside the returning co-host Kartik Krishnaiyer. Kartik, you didn't miss much this past week. There's only Messi going from Barcelona to PSG. It's been an insane week, and he hasn't even played a game yet.
Yeah, and probably I was the last person on the planet to find out about that, because I was so focused on what was going on with COVID-19 in Florida and kind of in tunnel vision. And then several hours later, I'd missed a few calls from you, missed a few calls from other people. And then I was like, hey, all these people are calling me at the same day, same time. I found out what had happened. That wasn't when he signed with PSG. I was fully booted right in at that point. Although I have to say I got suckered by some sources giving me different rumors, which luckily I didn't report any of it because there was no – I mean, just there were rumors flying. But yeah, when he left Barcelona, I was caught off guard. Though, Chris, I have to say, truthfully, privately, I've talked to many people for months who thought that this would have to happen and were really kind of surprised when Messi and Barcelona had agreed to terms or had verbally agreed to terms a few weeks ago, because if the salary structure that Tebas and the salary discipline Tebas was trying to impart into La Liga was going to have any teeth, Lionel Messi could not return to Barcelona.
So we'll get into the TV side of things in a little bit, but the first question I want to ask you and get your thoughts and share mine too is, will this transfer signing move the needle for PSG and Ligue 1 in terms of the popularity of both the league and the team?
At this point, yes. I mean, it's all anyone in my circle is talking about outside of, I mentioned coronavirus and Florida. Outside, in my soccer circles, this is all anyone's talking about, even local soccer. This is all anyone's talking about. And they're talking about PSG and their marketability and their assumption, people's assumption that now other teams in Ligue 1 are going to counter this move and be more attractive to star players. But then there's the financial limitations on Liga clubs, although the television situation seems to have been worked out, because we talked about this on this podcast before, Chris. I don't want to get too deep into it, but there was a great television deal, too good to be true television deal struck by Liga a couple seasons ago that brought was going to bring all kinds of new money into the league via a third party rights holder, and it just didn't happen, right? And the company collapsed, and there was a crisis last year as far as their domestic television rights. But that's the kind of assumption that there's going to be more money flowing in, and that because BN is so determined to promote Qatar in the World Cup next year, and they now have the biggest marketing draw you could possibly have in Messi, that there's going to be some sort of effort to really ramp it up and make Liga much more accessible and popular. But, and I'm going to throw it to you on this, but there is still the distribution issue with BN, and there seems to be insurmountable obstacles to actually fixing that, and at least in my opinion.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about, I think I mentioned about there's so many people in the States, and just in terms of, you look at them on social media, just and a lot of people that are not even soccer fans, but they wear Dortmund shirts, they wear PSG shirts, and it's not so much that they're supporting the actual clubs, but they're fans of the players, so they're fans of Haaland or Mbappe or Neymar, whoever it may be. And the viewing numbers for both for Dortmund and the German league and for PSG and the French league never match up to the amount of what seems to be a popularity for those teams. This will move the needle, I believe, for PSG. I mean, I don't care about Instagram numbers in terms of the number of followers they got from Instagram. Yes, it will make PSG a bigger brand name in the United States, and yes, there will be more interest in people wanting to watch Messi play for PSG. I don't think, though, Kartik, it's going to actually increase the number of viewers that much. There's the distribution problems which haven't changed. If anything, they've probably gotten worse now that beIN Sports have lost La Liga. And the French League is, yes, the flagship league that they have. But in terms of big brands, I mean, really, the French League has one team. You could compare that to, I mean, the German league at least has Bayern Munich, of course, but a Dortmund, it has some strong contenders. I mean, the French league, it's far and beyond PSG all the way. So I think this transfer will move the needle for Messi, and more so for Messi probably more than PSG, but will increase the popularity of PSG in this country. I don't think, though, that you're going to see that in the number of viewers. Now, you may, in terms of kids getting into soccer and wearing PSG shirts, and in terms of shirt sales, but I don't think it's going to translate into larger viewing numbers under the current scenario that we're on, which is beIN Sports have the rights to Ligue 1 until basically May of 2024, which still seems so far away from now.
Yeah, one other aspect of why PSG is cool in the U.S. I have to mention is the pop culture aspect of them having the Jumpman on their kits. So they are a Jordan brand. I think they're the only Jordan brand, soccer brand, right? Jordan soccer brand. So there's a coolness factor to that specifically in the States, which has allowed them to sell kits that they probably wouldn't have otherwise sold. And I agree with you. I see those two, the two teams you mentioned, actually, Chris, Dortmund and PSG, I think I see more of these days than most European clubs. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of Dortmund kits. I think the color might be the reason, actually. The yellow is a really cool color, although, I mean, they could buy Villarreal, right? I mean, but they're buying Dortmund. Yeah, so that's a great point. But I think the Jumpman has something to do with it, the Jordan brand. And now having Messi linked up with the Jordan brand probably drive shirt sales even further. But are those people going to tune in and watch Liga every week and watch beIN? I don't think so. Now, will it possibly give a spike in Champions League ratings to CBS?
Yes.
Because I think, honestly, Barcelona was no longer a factor in Champions League. I mean, the 8-2 against Bayern, which was, you could even argue, was a flattering scoreline based on the balance of play. I think that was it. And Real Madrid, as a even though they got to the semifinals last year, just felt like they're not really a factor anymore. PSG is more of a factor, even if they're not advancing much further than Barcelona in these tournaments. So I think it might actually boost CBS. Even though Messi's not he was in the Champions League. But you know what I'm saying. I think PSG being a factor, they were in a position where they could have won the Champions League without Messi. They were close enough. Barcelona, even with Messi, is nowhere near winning the Champions League. So I think this might give CBS a bit of a boost. They might have Messi in a Champions League final next year. And certainly we'll have him probably in the semifinals at the very least.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right, Kartik. Not only CBS Sports, but also Univision, and Univision having the Spanish language rights to the Champions League. In many ways, they are the two biggest winners in this. I don't see Ligue 1 as being a big winner in the United States under the current scenario situation with the games beIN on exclusive to beIN Sports. For PSG, it's going to be difficult to really increase the brand on television in terms of televised games through Ligue 1, which is through beIN Sports. But on the Champions League, it's on a different level, a lot more accessible, and especially with Univision too having the rights in Spanish. A question that comes from one of our listeners, and comes from Corey. Corey says, any chance that another network or streaming service tries to bid for Ligue 1 rights now that it appears that Messi is going to be playing with PSG? So Corey's asking, you mean, is there an opportunity here that somebody could come in, an NBC, a CBS, a Fox, and says, hey, beIN Sports, we saw what you did with La Liga and how you had the exclusive rights to La Liga, and you sold those, or did a deal with La Liga to sell those onto ESPN. Do you think that's possible, Kartik? Do you think there's an opportunity here for somebody to come in and take the rights away from beIN Sports if the price is right?
beIN is about right now is open in the U.S. to promote Qatar 2022. PSG's brand is about promoting Qatar for tourism and making Qatar more accessible in the West, all these sorts of things. So I think it's a decision that's going to be made at the highest level in the Emirate, in Qatar, in Doha, whether putting Messi on NBC or CBS or wherever in the U.S. I think it would have to be NBC, actually, because CBS and ESPN, maybe they'll find more bandwidth somewhere, right? But it feels like they're both maxed out now, doesn't it? If that is going to move the needle in promoting the World Cup. Now, of course, the World Cup is on Fox in 2022. So maybe Fox enters the picture here. And that's something where there's a sub-license deal worked out until December of 2022 or whenever to promote Qatar 2022, promote Messi, and promote the World Cup being in Qatar. That's the only scenario I can see, because I think, Chris, this is so much about promoting Qatar, the mm-hmm. whole thing.
Yeah.
BN and PSG. And then the World Cup's in Qatar next year, as I said. So I don't see it happening. I think the station is open. Look, I don't want people – maybe I'm jumping ahead here, but knowing some of the things you and I know – I would not be shocked if BN US is gone after the World Cup in 2022. I would not be surprised if June of 2023 that Liga season ends and they close the doors. But until then, their focus is on promoting Doha and Qatar as a tourist destination and as a center of football and all this stuff. So I don't think they would do it unless it feeds directly into promoting that World Cup, which, as I think out loud, is Fox, and probably not NBC, and definitely not ESPN or CBS.
Yeah, if Messi had moved to any other club that beIN Sports had the rights to that league, then I think it's possible. But given that PSG is owned by Qatar, given that beIN Sports is owned by Qatar, I don't think this is going to happen. It's very, very unlikely. I mean, Qatar obviously has enormous amounts of wealth. And like you said, Kartik, the 2022 World Cup is going to be the height for this country in terms of international awareness, in terms of their brands and promoting, and having Messi as the number one figure to go ahead and promote beIN Sports and Qatar.
He's effectively superseded Xavi, his former Barcelona teammate, as the number one ambassador for Qatar and for football in Qatar, just by making this move. I assume he's comfortable with that aspect, because I think that's part of the deal, honestly. Hasn't been talked about much, but I think that's part of the deal. Right now, they have a number of brand ambassadors. I mean, Arsene Wenger has gone to Qatar, done a lot with them. But Xavi is like the most recognizable person we're now associating with football in that country. And I think that might end up being Messi. So the BN synergy with PSG and Qatar, I think it's unlikely because of that.
So how much of an impact is this going to have on ESPN's coverage of La Liga? And I mean, they've spent $1.4 billion to acquire the rights. They've been chasing these rights for a long time. BN Sports held off, and you mean $1.4 billion. How much of an impact is this going to have on ESPN's coverage and their viewership numbers?
You called it, Chris. You were the one raising the alarm when the deal was made. When we had you and I were both on multiple calls, galas, even, you know, phone galas of celebrating ESPN and this deal and relevant sports. And you were the one who threw up kind of this red flag. Well, what happens if Messi leaves Barcelona? And in the back of my mind the whole time, I'm thinking, because I had been talking to other people about La Liga, I talked to player agents, actually, who said, look, La Liga's cap, Tebas is serious about this, and Barcelona's not going to be able to re-register him. But until it actually happened, I didn't realize those two things. Your speculation at that time and what I had been hearing, and as I said at the start of this podcast, it was a shock, but then after the shock wore off, it was like, yeah, you know, people I've been talking to have been saying this for months, that there's no way he could return to Barcelona with the financial constraints on them. So, I just don't know what ESPN is thinking. I mean, it is a devastating thing also, because La Liga does not have that next group of stars yet. I think Moreno could be. I think certainly Pau Torres, who we saw in the Super Cup, mm-hmm. and Pedri. There are a number of good young players, but the guys like Busquets and Sergio Ramos has gone to PSG too. Let's not forget that. The guys like Busquets, and I was going to say Ramos.
Benzema.
Those guys are fading, right? Eden Hazard is who knows if he'll be at Madrid much longer. The only thing that can counter this is if somehow Florentino Perez robs a bank in the next year and brings Mbappe to Madrid a year from now, which maybe they have to do somehow for the league and for just the gravitas of Spanish football.
Yeah, but then it's a lost season in some ways for ESPN. ESPN thinking, okay,
season's a wash for them right now. Yeah,
yeah, it's a really difficult position to be in. I mean, we had Kay Murray on last week, and she said, I mean, this is an 8-year deal. Nobody was expecting Leo Messi to be on ESPN for this. I mean, for 8 years. I mean, we know that within a couple of years, he was probably going to move on to play for Miami or in MLS anyway. So his longevity with Barcelona was going to be relatively short-lived from here on anyway. But it's still a major blow. And it's something that is going to be really interesting. I mean, that's my game to watch this weekend. From a football perspective, yes, in terms of watching Barcelona at home against Real Sociedad live on ABC and ESPN Plus at 2 p.m. on Sunday Eastern time. But I'm also interested in terms of how this game is covered. You've got Ian Dark commentating the game with Macca. You got Dark and Macca, I mean, the two of the best commentators, the duo. And how will ESPN cover this game? What will this game will be like? And especially having both of them in the stadium at the Camp Nou, what's the atmosphere going to be like in the stadium? So it's going to be a drama. It's going to be an evolving story over the course of the season. It's a massive gamble by ESPN. Even before we knew that Messi was going to PSG, a massive roll of the dice to try to figure out, I mean, like, can ESPN make La Liga a massive success in this country, given the amount of money they've spent? Yes, we know Barca and Real Madrid are big clubs, and they are two of the biggest clubs in the country. But outside of that, there's a large number of other clubs that relatively don't get much exposure. Villarreal, definitely, and Atleti. But outside of that, there's not a lot of discussion being had in the mainstream. So it's a massive gamble. It's going to be interesting. And at the end of the day, Kartik, be in sports, they've got to be laughing about this. They've got to be like laughing to themselves. Everyone writing them off after they lost La Liga. And there we have Messi moving to PSG and now be in sports, being back in business, effectively. I mean, they're still in business, but you mean they're back.
Yeah. Yeah, they're back big time. And now there are people who canceled their FUBO. I know this anecdotal evidence. Some of you are listening to the podcast who talked to me about this stuff. Who canceled their FUBO subscriptions, who canceled their Sling subscriptions. I shouldn't laugh. Sorry, I don't mean to offend those of you who've written to me. But I do find it kind of the irony in it funny that have canceled their FUBO and Sling subscriptions and have been contacting me in the last week, like, oh my, or the last 3 days since it was made officially signed at PSG. Oh my goodness. I mean, what am I going to do now? Now I have to get back at like a new rate. I'm a new subscriber. It's costing me money because, you know, whatever promotional deal
right.
you had.
They lost the grandfathered rate.
Yeah, yeah. I have that with FUBO. That's why I still have FUBO. I'm grandfathered in from ages ago, from when they started, actually, and came on this podcast and launched the product like 8 years ago. So there are people who feel really screwed by this. And Bien, you're right, is probably laughing about it. They love the irony of it. And, you know, again, the French league was actually really good last season. And Lille hung on and won the league on the last day of the season in stoppage time. They almost blew it. But it was Monaco was very good last season. They've actually maybe even gotten better. Lyon was pretty good, although they lost Memphis. That's he's gone to Barcelona. Maybe now he wishes he hadn't gone, given he thought he probably was going to play with Messi. The French league is actually really a compelling league. It's a really good league. Lille has retained more of their players than I thought they would. They lost Samare, who was a key part. He's gone to Leicester, and they lost Mangan, who was obviously a great goalkeeper who went to replace Donnarumma at Milan. But otherwise, they're still very solid. So but then again, it goes back to the issue. I can say all this, Chris, but what you said earlier, the Inn's distribution situation has not improved, and it's not going to improve. Dramatically. I mean, yeah. They improve slightly. That's the drawback the whole way.
They're in a strange place because beIN Sports now have Messi back on their channel. It's not going to improve the distribution. So it's not going to be, okay, all right, now beIN Sports is back on DirecTV and back on Comcast. It will probably help them out in terms of advertising. They'll probably get a few more advertisers coming in to advertise on the channel than they had in the past. However, a lot of the advertisers basically pay based on the distribution. So if you're in 50 million homes and you can guarantee X amount of views or impressions on your advertising, they're going to be played throughout the entire season, you will pay more money. beIN Sports has already paid Ligue 1 for the rights to show the French league. But there's probably no increase in revenue for beIN Sports. Now, they may get some more subscribers coming in now or coming back. There's no guarantee of that, though, but you would hope so. But I think, like you said earlier in the podcast, most fans of Messi that like watching Messi will probably hold out and wait for the Champions League. And that's when, in quotation marks, the real competition begins. Having said all of that, though, Kartik, is that beIN Sports last week, I think the layoffs that they had, anyone that watched beIN Sports last weekend to watch some of the Ligue 1 coverage, which this is probably the most Ligue 1 coverage I've watched in one weekend, probably in a couple of years, because I was curious. I was, okay, let me turn on the channel and see what's happening. So I watched the opening game of the season on Friday, last Friday, Monaco against Nantes. No commentators. What they had, they used the world feed. We had Phil Shane doing the pre-match, just kind of just talking about the team lineups, etc. That's it. And then there was no studio show. There was nothing. And then the game, the PSG on the weekend. And then in that PSG game they showed, it was I think Thomas Rongen and Phil Shane on the commentary. Now, Kartik, since the last episode that you were on, Ray Hudson has left beIN Sports. So they're missing their number one commentator. They've lost so much talent over the last couple of years. They've gone on to work for CBS, ESPN, into Miami, you name it. There's a long, long list of people that have left that network. So they're running a really tight ship. They've got very little talent available to them to choose from. And yet they have the biggest name in world football. I mean, arguably the number one player in the world. If not number one, joint number one. You would think that beIN Sports would say, hey, okay, we're going to double up on our coverage. We're going to go ahead and bring in some big names, and we're going to do it right. We're going to actually embrace this and make the most of this. Kartik, I think it's going to be more of the same. I don't think anything will change. I think it'll be the same kind of crew, and really, I mean, not that there's anything wrong with the crew that they have, but these people have been with us for quite some time, and it's a shoestring budget to the extreme.
Yeah, I think another factor here is Liga does not produce games, and the level that the Bundesliga, and certainly Bundesliga and Premier League, are in a class by themselves, but even at the level that La Liga and Serie A do, they don't have the sort of infrastructure in terms of like La Liga TV and the personalities that maybe they can ship over, or they can have. And we're going to talk about ESPN and La Liga in a little bit, but a lot of it is down to the fact that La Liga has that infrastructure that Liga doesn't. So it's not all on beIN. This all having been said, PSG has spent so much money, Qatar and beIN have spent so much money on various things. you would have thought they would have worked on the domestic end, although they've been kind of in the middle of some of the domestic intrigue around the TV rights for Liga 1. But they would have, PSG as a brand would have worked hard with Liga 1 to improve their international distribution and even their international presentation, and they haven't done that. So, Liga broadcasts still seem very they're like watching the Bundesliga or Premier League 5 years ago, right?
Right.
I'm not going to say they're 30 years behind, but they're like 5 to 7 years behind where the Bundesliga and Premier League are. And they're behind where La Liga and Serie A are. So it becomes very difficult then. BN then has to have a whole army of their own commentators. They have to kind of overproduce on their end the games, and they just don't have the capability of doing that. So I think it's I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe Liga 1, now that they have this commodity, at least for the next 2 years, are going to ramp up things. But it's happening right. The season had already begun when Messi signed. With the games you watched last weekend, Messi had not signed at that point. And while all logical signs pointed to PSG, I will tell you, and again, I didn't go on Twitter and start reporting things because I was very, very skeptical of what I was hearing. But I heard rumors about all kinds of things and him landing in all kinds of different places, including MLS in China, but also different clubs in Europe. Mm-hmm. So the last round of matches that you're commenting on, Chris, that you were watching, Messi wasn't even in the league yet. So I don't know if they have the capability of ramping this thing up quickly enough, given the enormous asset they now have.
All right. So before we move on to TV streaming news, Kartik, what's your match to watch this weekend that you'd recommend?
Oh, it's a sentimental one because Jesse Marsch is managing his first match at Leipzig, at RB Leipzig. The first Americans have managed at a high level in first divisions in Europe before. Pellegrino Mazzara is still the manager of Stuttgart and managed Stuttgart wonderfully last year. They had a decent season. Obviously, Bob Bradley managed your club, Swansea City. By the way, the only match I watched this week, Chris, in its entirety, not full 90 minutes of, was Swansea Blackford. So apologies for that. I think I jinxed you guys because I watched a fair amount of like bits and pieces of other football, but that's the only match I watched in its entirety. But this is the first match where we've had an American manager managing at a big-time club, a club that's competing for trophies. Obviously, they lost the German Cup final last year. They were in the Champions League semifinals 2 years ago. So this is a big, big moment for I think for American soccer. So that's my pick. It's a sentimental pick. I know it's not the biggest game of the weekend, but it's Jesse Marsch. So that's my choice. 9:30 a.m. on Sunday on ESPN Plus.
All right. So moving on to the TV streaming news section, and the first news item is talking more about the coverage from ESPN of La Liga, and they named some big names this week. We'll go through those right now. So the commentators. We've mentioned already Ian Dark, but so you got Ian Dark, Adrian Healy, which is interesting too because he's working for Austin FC, yeah. But maybe he'll be doing some games from time to time. And then Ricardo Ortiz, Fernando Palomo, Rob Palmer, Mauricio Pedrosa, Derek Ray, Sebastian Salazar, and then Jorge Ramos. Of course, some of these names are going to be ones doing coverage in Spanish for ESPN Deportes. And then as far as the analysts you have, we've already mentioned, I think on last week's podcast, you got Steve McManaman, Mario Kempes, Diego Forlan, Luis Garcia, Hugo Sanchez, and Pablo Zabaleta. But some of the other names announced this week, Andres Agula, Casey Keller, and Alejandro Moreno, Carolina de las Salsas, Alex Pareja, Stuart Robson, Hernan Pereira, and then you have the hosts. So the hosts, everyone from Dan Thomas and Kay Murray, reporters. So this is important too, in terms of giving some context and analysis about these teams and these stories. Martin Eystein, who we've seen from time to time, I think even during the Euro 2020 coverage. Sid Lowe, who is kind of a cult hero for a lot of people, I'm sure Kartik included, Alexis Nunes, etc. So there's more names actually than these, but that's the majority of the people that will be broadcasting on the English language side, and some of them on the Spanish language side. Any surprises here, Kartik? What are your thoughts about some of these names that have been mentioned?
Well, I'm excited to see Rob Palmer's name on that press release that we got the other day. That was a big surprise to me, and he's a guy I have a lot of respect for. I've heard him do games with the late Michael Robinson, former Man City, QPR, Liverpool player, who then became kind of the English language expert on La Liga after he finished his career up at Osasuna. So Rob Palmer is a guy that has an incredible amount of knowledge of La Liga. Really excited about that. Derek Ray doing some La Liga games was surprising and was I think is great. I'm excited about that. I can listen to any broadcast anywhere Derek Ray does. There were some Bundesliga fans concerned that meant his commitment to the Bundesliga would not be as strong, but we were going to get to it in the news section shortly. Derek Ray is still the lead commentator for ESPN on their Bundesliga coverage, but we'll also do some La Liga. Games aren't going on. The La Liga's schedule is often different than Bundesliga. Bundesliga matches end earlier in the day. Seb Salazar, I thought, was an interesting choice, and I'm really happy to see him on that list. And I think the interesting thing is that ESPN has been able to lean on La Liga TV and the expertise of English language voices who have done La Liga when La Liga was on Sky Sports. Yep. Although, ironically enough, we're talking about the distribution issues for Liga 1 in the U.S. I have to mention this, Chris. I know this is a little out of school. We focus on the U.S. La Liga is now the one league in the U.K., even though they were on Sky for years and then had a little bit of time on ITV. They are the only league of the big five leagues in Europe now that does not have a major TV deal in the U.K. So Bundesliga and Serie A now are taking a step above for this coming season, above La Liga in the UK. So that's another interesting thing. Maybe we'll get into that later in the season in terms of UK TV. But, I love the Kay Murray and Dan Thomas choices. Those are two of my favorite all-soccer hosts, and obviously both with a background with Real Madrid TV. So excited to have both of them as part of the team.
That would be the only disappointment I have so far from ESPN's announcements about the coverage of La Liga is La Liga TV. So anyone who's had access to beIN Sports in the past before would know that on beIN Sports Connect, one of their streaming channels, they had a 24/7 La Liga channel, which was La Liga TV. So directly from Spain, reporters, studio shows, press conferences. I mean, a lot of great coverage. And even when they showed games, they would have the commentators from La Liga TV. You'd be able to watch and listen to those guys instead of the beIN Sports crew if you wanted to. But overall, mostly news and analysis and discussion, did a really good job. With ESPN's coverage of La Liga, that is not included. So there's no access to a La Liga TV in the United States. Now, excerpts of La Liga TV, I'm sure ESPN will incorporate into their programming. So whether it's into maybe ESPN FC or some of their coverage of games, I mean, whether it's, I don't know, post-match or some analysis or maybe some clips that they would put on YouTube or other places, social media, etc. And the big news about La Liga TV this season, this coming season, is that they announced a new host, and that's Gary Lineker. So they were able to get one of the biggest names in English language broadcasting for soccer and get him into that position to be calling. I mean, a player used to play for Barcelona and has a fondness for Spanish football, and yet we're probably not going to see much of him. Yes, ESPN has a strong crew. All those names, and actually there's a lot more names that we didn't mention, but so those are some of the big names. And that's my only disappointment so far, but we'll have to wait and see how and if they choose to incorporate some of that content into the regular programming.
But they're incorporating some of the people who've worked for La Liga TV, so I have to think that that's on the way. But yeah, I'm disappointed we haven't heard about that either.
All right. And then in other news, CBS Sports announced this week some more of details about their coverage of Serie A, which will begin on Saturday, August 21st. This will be a brand new deal for CBS Sports and Paramount Plus. and acquiring the rights to the Italian Serie A. Previously, of course, those games were on ESPN Plus. And what we can look forward to in the opening weekend of coverage of Serie A next week, Udinese against Juventus. That game's going to be on CBS Sports Network and Paramount Plus. And all the other games will be on Paramount Plus. So if you have a Paramount Plus subscription, you will get every single Serie A game. So what the plans are from CBS Sports is to announce more details as each week goes by. So next week we should expect to hear more news about talent. And then after the international break, from what I understand, is in September, then we will see the full studio crew. And so for the first maybe week to week and a half of coverage of Serie A, it's going to be not the full crew. It's going to be a limited crew. And then again, after the international break, then that's what we can expect to see on an ongoing basis with a kind of a fully staffed, fully optimized, enhanced coverage of Serie A. So if you are a Serie A fan and you're looking forward to the coverage, just basically give them a week or two to get to the point where they're going to go ahead and unveil everything. So as far as first impressions, just give them a little bit of patience on that one. Kartik, one of your favorite leagues, is starting up coverage this weekend, and they've released more details about their second season.
Yeah, so the Bundesliga is back on ESPN Plus and ESPN and ABC starting Friday with the season opener between Borussia Mönchengladbach and Bayern Munich. Derek Ray will be the commentator for that match. You have a number of returning members of last year's coverage to the ESPN crew, but in addition, with Mark Donaldson now being available with Serie A no longer on the network, so Mark Donaldson's going to call a game this weekend on the network on ESPN Plus. You've got Derek Ray returning, you've got Mark Donaldson back, Jürgen Klinsmann back, Casey Keller back, and Casey Keller will be generally the lead co-commentator. Kay Murray is going to be hosting the studio for Bundesliga this weekend, as well as La Liga, as we talked about earlier. Archie Rintut, who contributed immensely during the Euros this summer, a German-based British reporter, but German-based, he will be back, as will Lutz Fonstil, who is going to be on the coverage this weekend. So, number of names that are back, and you're going to see some of the same people that you saw on the Deportes side last season as well on the ESPN side this season. I think that on the Deportes side this season, one of the really exciting things, Chris, to me, is that for both La Liga and the Bundesliga, at least based on what ESPN has told us about the first couple weeks, we're going to get more matches with native calls, with ESPN calls, than we did last season for Serie A and the Bundesliga. Let's just swap Serie A, which is off the network now, for La Liga. Generally, it was one game a week, right, that you would have, if even that with the Bundesliga, that you would have ESPN announcers. And what we are finding is they're going to be doing more of their own commentary, at least for the weeks leading into the first international break, in both La Liga and Bundesliga. So that, to me, is very exciting. Obviously, calling things off of monitors has gotten much better during this COVID period, and it seems pretty seamless. You really, in most cases, can't tell the difference anymore.
Yeah, it's going to be a really big weekend for ESPN this weekend. Of course, La Liga, and like you mentioned, the Bundesliga. The other piece of news, too, that we broke this week is that ESPN Plus has renewed the rights to the Dutch Eredivisie. So the coverage will start on Saturday. I think there's three games Saturday and a game or two on Sunday. So that's good to see, because the Dutch Eredivisie rights ended at the end of last season. And I know that there was some discussion and more than one broadcaster that was interested in picking up these rights. But ESPN Plus persevered and was able to do a deal. And that's great news for fans of Dutch football. And for anyone who's watched it, it's really entertaining, of course. Some really high quality open games, a lot of youth, some passionate fans, and pretty much any time I watch a Dutch game, I really enjoy it. And it's a league that I want to get into more. Again, the challenge is just so many games from so many different leagues and so much to try and catch. Speaking of so many games from trying to catch games, NBC has announced their coverage plans for the Premier League, which begins on Friday with Brentford newly promoted against Arsenal. And it's the final season of the current TV deal that NBC Sports has with the Premier League. So within the next 2 months, we should find out whether NBC has been able to renew these rights for another 3 to 6 years, or if another broadcaster will come in and acquire the rights for the 2022-23 season onwards. In terms of coverage, it's basically what you expect from NBC. It's the returning crew of Arlo White, Lee Dixon, Graeme Lusso, two Robbies, Rebecca Lowe, and Danny Higginbotham coming back. I don't think I saw any mention of Tim Howard, which is interesting. So maybe he's taken a break, perhaps, after coverage on ESPN. I'm not sure about that. The other change is that this is something we saw late last season anyway, but on the games that are on over-the-air NBC, they will be available also on Peacock. So if you have Peacock, you will have access to the live game that's on the over-the-air NBC network, which is usually the 12:30 Eastern Time Saturday kickoff. And then one other piece of news, Kartik, is that I'm not sure if you caught this, because it has been a very busy week, both politics, hurricanes, and soccer. But NBC has got a new replacement for Neil Ashton.
Yeah.
Before I mention his name, I just want to – we haven't talked about this. I mean, when we do these podcasts, oftentimes, almost all the times, it's unfiltered. It's honest feedback. It's our thoughts. We usually don't talk much about the podcast, so it's kind of fresh and spontaneous. But what do you think of when you hear the words David Ornstein?
Right now, I think of his stuff all being behind a paywall that I don't read. If you want me to be honest.
No, yeah, me too. No, me too. Yeah, no, I agree with you there. But
like, so, I thought it was a little odd. I'm glad they did this, because I've been seeing it now for a year and a half. They didn't replace Neil Ashton when he went in. He left journalism kind of abruptly, in fairness to NBC, opened his own shop, Ed Woodward became his first client. So, but then they didn't replace Ashton last season, and with all the things that happened last year that required like an insider journalist reporter, they really looked bad. So I'm glad they've replaced him with someone, but I the link up with The Athletic is a little odd for me. I thought they'd go to the traditional broadsheet media, whether it would be going back to someone like an Ashton, getting a John Cross, for instance. That's a name that would come to mind, among others. A number of guys who write for The Guardian, The Independent. But they went to an Athletic reporter, which is, to me, kind of strange, honestly. I don't know if there's something greater in the link up there, or if it's just a coincidence.
Yeah, I think it's
a guy that was available, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's a coincidence. What I would say is that, like you, I mean, he's been off my radar for a long time, just because he's behind a paywall. But the other thing I associate with David Ornstein is Arsenal, and just a very heavy focus on Arsenal Football Club.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I agree that, yes, I think they've answered our hopes and prayers that they would replace Neil Ashton, because that was something that was severely missing last season.
Yeah.
Everything from the European Super League to the Old Trafford invasion. There were so many different talking points. I know, coronavirus, of course, too. I mean, as far as names, if somebody came to me and said, hey, Chris, who do you think should be in that role rather than a David Ornstein? I mean, Marina Hyde, Henry.
She's amazing. Yeah.
Right.
Just for the consumption of the listeners, I try and model my own writing. And the reason why maybe my writing has become more erratic in the last 2 years is I'm trying to copy her writing style specifically. I absolutely adore the way she writes. So that would be a dream for me. But, yeah, she would be much better, among others.
Yeah, or like a Henry Winter or somebody. But there was a, yeah. I don't know. I was just, yeah, I was just really surprised.
Patty Barclay. I mean, there are any number of people that would be good. Yeah. Even Barney Roney. I mean, you could go on and on, actually.
Yeah, I was surprised by David Ornstein, but I'll go in with an open mind, and hopefully he will kind of exceed our expectations this weekend, when I'm sure he'll probably do a Sunday morning segment.
There's a lot of Arsenal fans. So Amy Lawrence is same issues. John Cross, same issues, where they're really Arsenal heavy. And I think they're both incredible reporters. I mean, in fact, I would say Amy Lawrence is also a great analyst of football. She's more than just a reporter. She's with The Athletic now too, so you can read her stuff. Can't read her stuff anymore. But she but then when it gets to Arsenal, sometimes with these Arsenal-centric reporters, I often have a problem with some of the reporting and some of the analysis. So I'm hoping that doesn't happen with Ornstein also.
So Kartik, one of the things that's happened the last couple of weeks is some major transfer moves. Yes, Messi goes to PSG. But if you look at the European transfer market, there's a shift. I mean, Inter Milan, Inter wins the title, but then sells their star striker, Romelu Lukaku, for, over $100 million, a massive amount of money, a club transfer record fee for Chelsea. You have many other players too, but Grealish, of course, moving from Villa to City. But you got Josh Sargent, who's not commanding those types of figures, but still a key transfer there to Norwich. You've got somebody that I know that you respect a lot, and you think you rate it very highly, Leon Bailey, moving to Aston Villa. And there's many, many more. It just seems there'll be a lot more transfers of players moving to England, and there probably will be, I'm sure, many, many more in the coming weeks. But do you see the pendulum swinging while at the same time in La Liga taking on investment money, I mean, to as a percentage of the league, to buy into the league, the Italian clubs with some financial problems, PSG, I mean, forget about financial fair play, but do you see the English clubs kind of having a key influence here and a kind of a change in the marketplace?
And Jadon Sancho also is a huge one. That took a year, so it feels like, I mean, it just felt like an inevitability. Yes, absolutely. I think the next 3 years, the pendulum always swings, but the TV deal that the Premier League has and the amount of TV money that's in that league, while Liga, we talked about the TV situation there. Spain has a huge financial issue. There are financial issues in Spanish society. A lot of this is down to the Spanish government deciding that they weren't going to let football skate by anymore a couple of years ago. And then that's created a knock-on effect. Italy, there are problems. Look, the clubs also, like Inter, when you sell to Chinese investors, there's always kind of a pullback potential. And we've seen that now with the Chinese government not really wanting. There's a lot more to this, even with the way they're treating Jack Ma and others, but not really wanting as much money flowing into the West. They want that expertise to come back to China. So they were going to sell, and we knew when Conte walked out on them right after winning the title that this was coming. I think this is an inevitability. Now, the question is, does all the money go to the top teams in the Premier League? Are they the only ones able to spend? Or are there other clubs that can go out and make a really big transfer? It's difficult when you judge based on Leicester, because I think, once again, Leicester, to me, has had one of the best transfer windows in Europe, although they lose Wesley Fofana to injury, which is a devastating loss. But they've gotten Vestergaard, they've gotten Samare, among others. Ryan Bertrand on a free transfer, I think, is going to help with Justin out. But Leicester's scouting is so good that some of the guys that you say, a guy like Samari, who I said was integral to Lille winning the title in France last year, him going to Leicester doesn't alarm me about the Premier League's dominance, because Leicester seems to keep getting these guys for the last however many years. That's why they've won a title. It's why they've won an FA Cup. That's why they're in the top five the last few years also. But if you see, I don't know, if you see name a club, Brighton sign somebody that you think is an absolutely crazy signing that they get out of Spain or Germany or Italy, I think that's when the rest of Europe gets alarmed. Or Southampton makes that kind of signing. Maybe Villa signing Leon Bailey, although I think he he's maybe not quite at that level, but he's kind of there, is a warning sign. I have a feeling, Chris, you're going to see an outflow. As long as guys qualify for work permits, that's another issue now with England. The point system has changed post-Brexit. You might see a real outflow of even mid-range talent to mid-level Premier League clubs in the next 3 years during the duration of this TV contract. One thing I should mention, though, is the TV contract for German clubs for the Bundesliga, the TV deals that they are currently under, not just domestically but globally, are bringing in more money than I think they expected. So they may have and obviously they have a different model for the structure of the football, but maybe they won't lose as many guys. But as far as Italy and Spain, I think there's going to be a huge outflow of players if those players qualify for work permits in England. And if you're a fan of those two leagues, the next 3 years are going to be pretty rough, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, and I guess that's another thing too about La Liga's timing of the deal with ESPN is it's not at an opportune time by any means. I mean, Barcelona still has players to sell that need to offload to bring down their salaries. And it will be interesting. I mean, there's definitely a lot of youth players moving through the system. But, yeah, and in some ways, too, I mean, with the Premier League, I think it – I mean, bringing in Sancho, bringing back Lukaku, and I'm sure probably some other signings coming through, too, is that it is more important than ever – for this next TV deal from NBC, well, from the Premier League, really, to be as large as possible to really keep these clubs happy and keep on them signing some big players. Whether it'll be or not, we will have to wait and see, but it's a fascinating story. All right, next up in the listener mailbag, first up, and we got a lot of feedback about Messi. Nick says, I was vehemently against the Super League. If Messi leaves for Barcelona for PSG, I think the current situation where Man City, PSG, and maybe Chelsea can spend at will while everybody else, especially outside of England, cuts might actually be more depressing than the Super League. I understand that a lot of this is due to mismanagement by these clubs. However, as much as the Super League would have ruined football, Qatar bankrolling a club to poach everybody else's best players during an economic crisis isn't football either. Of course, a lot can still happen, and this message might be irrelevant by the time you read it, which is not, but the sport is in a very bad and unhealthy place. Kartik, you have to agree with that, right, in terms of just the financial implications. But do you think that, I mean, there's been some arguments, I think, in the New York Times this week to say that, well, maybe the Super League wasn't such a bad idea versus kind of where we ended up with.
Well, we knew Barcelona and Real Madrid were desperate even at that point. And the thing is, if their financial livelihood depended on this as much as it did, which it clearly did, why did they roll it out so sloppily, to where it blew up within 3 days? The reason for that is because of their arrogance. And their arrogance is what got them into this position. The arrogance of those two clubs, the arrogance of those two clubs to continue to even oppose La Liga, bringing in investors. And the arrogance and entitlement of those two clubs. So I agree this is all bad for football. I think football is in a bad place. But for me, at the same time, I was vehemently against bailing out those two clubs in particular. So I think it's just desserts. I know it's very emotional and tough to see Messi leave Barcelona, and I'm disappointed he's going to Qatar own PSG, to be frank about it. Mm-hmm. I agree with that, but I think it's just desserts for Barcelona. They deserve to lose Messi and everything else. And Laporta came in with complete arrogance, too, when he won that presidential election and just thought he was going to snap his fingers and they were going to be running on credit like they were 10 years ago when he last ran the club. So, yeah, I agree with Nick, but I also think that those two clubs have gotten what they deserve, and the Super League would have been a bailout for them. So I'm still, I would like a way maybe that we can balance this, and I've been weighing this. This is an article I'm probably going to write for World Soccer Talk in the near future about how we can get some spending mitigation and American style control of these things in place, while not blowing up the model of football so we have closed leagues. And I, to be honest with you, Chris, I think La Liga has taken the first step towards that. It's going to be painful. I just said the next 3 years are going to be very tough if you're a La Liga fan. But this is something they have to do. And a decade from now, we might be looking back as much of a curmudgeonly kind of provocative character Tebas has been, and said, you know what, he got it right, and the people running La Liga now, and it's the top league in the world again now, et cetera, and it's because of what he did in 2020. It could be at that point. I think they have to do what they're doing.
Hans says, the real winner in all of this is beIN Sports, who dumped La Liga and held the rights to Liga. And the additional loser could be ESPN with an 8-year deal for La Liga. Now there's no Messi, and rumors that since Aguero hasn't been registered, he also wants to leave since he joined Barca to play with Messi. Looks like a few contracts will be redrawn, like tickets for PSG and TV rights for Ligue 1. And we have to see if ESPN gets their lawyers involved on the deal that they signed with La Liga. What an entertaining transfer window this turned out to be. Barca has to be the worst-run club in the top tiers. Looks like Laporta got this one wrong. Messi is bigger than Barcelona. Michael says, La Liga will be fine. They have been having superstars come and go their entire history. As for ESPN Plus, Disney knew what they were doing. They aren't stupid. When they bought La Liga, Messi was going to be out the door anyway. He's 34. They bought La Liga at the same time they picked some of the Liga MX rights and signed the deal with the SEC conference to guarantee at least one game per team per year in American football, and 7 games per year in basketball. La Liga is a bargain compared to that, and the increase in subscribers for the SEC alone will pay for La Liga. Even without Messi, Barcelona is still loaded. They'll be just fine. After all of this, Barcelona is still the second richest soccer team in the world, second only to Real Madrid, and 6th most richest sports franchise in the world. In addition, they have the largest capacity in all of Europe. Messi will hurt temporarily, but they will only drop to number 3, Real Madrid and Man United number 1 and 2. I will still watch a random La Liga game 100 times out of 100 over any Premier League game other than with Arsenal, but that's just me. That is why what's beautiful about soccer in the US. We can watch whatever we want, Liga 1, La Liga, Serie A, Bundesliga, Premier League, Liga MX, Brazilian League, Argentine League, and so on and on and on. Loco Footy says, Premier League rights will cost even more for the next cycle then. Barcelona gambled and lost. They were waiting for La Liga to lift or suspend the spending limits, and La Liga did not. This is more than just Messi. Super League, the latest investment by CVC, TV rights are all involved here. I'm sure Juventus and Madrid applied pressure as well. It's all disgusting. Mercator says, very cool having Kay Murray co-host, and really looking forward to her and Dan Thomas leading the presentation of La Liga. I think we all really need Ray Hudson to stay, at least until Messi well and truly retires. I would love to hear him on PSG games this season. The ESPN multicast feature really allows you to see more of the smaller clubs on a regular basis, so I've enjoyed 2020 coverage of some of the smaller clubs. Barcelona is an absolute disgrace. The Financial Times recently had an expose, and their incompetence in the last 5 years has been truly staggering. For all that we mock the oil clubs, Barcelona spent over $1 billion to get worse, with no one bankrolling everything. Now they have to let Messi go in an embarrassing fashion. He deserved better from the club. La Liga doesn't look much better. The CVC deal is terrible. You finance that from the bond market or a bank loan. You don't give away 10% of your revenues for 50 years. Serie A and then Bundesliga turned down a similar offer, and I'm glad Madrid is suing over this. Reminds me of Ligue 1 picking Media Pro after Serie A turned them down, failing to get any guarantee and then having it blow up in their face. How can someone like Barto walk into a negotiation with a max price of 80 million euros and walk out paying twice that? You really wonder who manages some of these football clubs. It's absolutely unprofessional at best and grossly incompetent in many cases. These are not small amounts of money. Harry Kane needs a real agent as well. He embarrassed himself and achieved nothing. Strong words there from Mercator. A couple more comments to go. Don Dickerson says, I get it.
I'll just say real quickly about the Harry Kane thing. There's this trend, obviously, of superstar players being represented by family members. So I think that at some point, the pendulum is probably going to swing back to where the Kane thing is illustrative of that. I mean, I don't know. I assume it was his brother's strategy to hold out effectively, like in American sports style, like these players who used to hold out for contracts. And even the way kind of the messy thing went with his dad and Neymar, I think that it's going to, as much as people are tired of dealing with Mini Raiola and George Mendes and others, there is going to be a pendulum swing back to maybe mid-level agents for some of these superstar players, because Charlie Kane is not the first family member to advise his brother or his son improperly in the last few years in terms of being like the representation for a superstar player. So I actually, I take that point really well from Mercator. I think that that's he needs to go get a real agent now.
Don Dickerson says, I get it. Messi is the big draw, but to say the club isn't worth watching now is beyond dumb. I'll tune in because they are still a great club that will be in the top three or there. In the league table, and definitely worthy of the knockout round, probably round of 16, maybe even the quarterfinals, if they get a good draw in the next few years of Champions League. Going forward, they have two great men up front, with Memphis Depay and Antoine Griezmann. So long as they stay healthy, this club is going to be well worth watching, even without Messi. And last but not least, Toto says, La Liga without Messi is just another league and will lose its attraction. On the other hand, Ligue 1 will pick up worldwide viewers. PSG is building the dream team, Messi flanked by Mbappe and Neymar, with Sergio Ramos and Marquinhos in the back, and Verratti and Wijnaldum in midfield. And Pochettino as a coach would be an amazing team to watch. The bookies already give them 3-1 odds of winning the Champions League. Bein Sports just got another lifeline in the US market. Love to hear Phil and Ray commentating on PSG games. And as of right now, it looks like it's going to be Phil Shane commentating on PSG games. Like K. Murray mentioned in last week's podcast, it sounds like Ray is more likely to be hanging up his boots than to be trying to step into a new position. So he does games for Inter Miami, does the commentating on that, as well as appearances on Sirius XM FC. But the indications are unlikely that he is going to move to ESPN or CBS Sports or another broadcaster. It looks like he's more trying to kind of pick and choose what he wants to do. Maybe he wants to spend more time by himself, I mean, enjoying life. He's definitely deserves it. So we want you to have your say. I mean, yes, this week's comments mostly were all about Messi, but some of it about financial fair play, about Barcelona and Ray Hudson, etc. If you have any questions about anything that we cover in terms of broadcasting, soccer on TV, streaming, etc., or related comments, you can always reach us via email through web@worldsoccertalk.com, as well as facebook.com/worldsoccertalk, and on Twitter @worldsoccertalk. Plus, of course, you can always post your comments on worldsoccertalk.com, and we will often read those out on air. Kartik, what would your excitement level be on a scale of 0 to 10, 10 being off the charts, for this weekend's coverage? Because, I mean, when you think about it, there is so much to choose from this weekend. I know there's a lot of other stuff going on in life, but in terms of soccer, what's your rating there?
I'd say a 7 or an 8. I mean, I'm Serie A is not starting. Look, we have Coppa Italia, by the way. And we do have Scottish League on Paramount Plus, which has been good so far. But I'm waiting for really the Serie A launch on CBS, and then it to kick in the studio and everything after the international break. So that's when I'll get to a 10. I'll say a 7 for now. I think one other point I wanted to make in the podcast that I didn't start, Chris, is that these first couple of weeks we're seeing NBC use USA Network and use CNBC for some 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. British Standard Time kickoffs. So that, I think, is going to get is being planned to get the audience used to flipping those channels on instead of NBCSN. So I'm actually – that's a big part of my curiosity this weekend. How are those games handled? Are they international feeds? Is Rebecca Lowe's studio come on to those broadcasts also? And what is that handoff when NBCSN goes away going to be like? So actually I might be more curious about NBC's Premier League coverage, even with all this ESPN and CBS coverage this weekend, than most people. I'm curious genuinely about some of the things they do entering their final season, and the USA and CNBC games, I think, presumably being done because they need to impress on the Premier League they're serious about keeping the rights and show and giving the Premier League the coverage the league feels it deserves.
Yeah, yeah, some big games this weekend. You've got Norwich against Liverpool on NBC over the air and Peacock. One of the games you mentioned, Kartik, on the USA channel, and that is Everton against Southampton. Yep. That's on Saturday. And then you've got Leicester Wolves, NBCSN, Man United against Leeds United, Brentford against Arsenal. I mean, Man City, Spurs. I mean, there's a lot to look forward to. Hopefully the level of football will live up to its billing. I'm confident it will, and NBC's coverage, we'll have to wait and see, but it's going to be all over the place in terms of options to choose from. So like you mentioned too, about being curious about NBC's coverage of this weekend's games and who's going to be commentating which matches, we will have the full list of commentators on worldsoccertalk.com on the homepage, and if you have any questions, feel free to post us in the comments and we'll get back to you regarding that. So Kartik, it's good to have you back. Appreciate your time. And listeners, thank you for listening to the podcast. We will be back next week, next Thursday, to talk about how the first week of coverage went for the new season, for the Bundesliga, for La Liga, for the Premier League, and I'm sure lots of other games from around the world. Kartik, what should the listeners do, and what will you be doing this weekend?
Enjoy your football.